keeping him in prayer, and you too, and just lifting him up. And so we have finished looking at the things that Christ did as we look through the harmony of the Gospels, through his death, the crucifixion, the trials, the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And now we're looking at some of the few teachings that are in the Scripture of what Jesus said and did after his resurrection. I've looked through the Gospels, and they really don't have a lot to say about the 40 days that he's taught before he went to until he ascended. So a lot of that, I don't know why, and I guess I don't need to know why. I'm not God. If we needed to know, he would have put it in the Scripture. Since nothing was written about it, he probably didn't teach no new thing. He taught the same thing that he's always taught, about how to love. He taught about the kingdom. He taught about the grace of God. He taught about how to be a disciple, how to be a servant of the Most High God over those 40 days. But in John, it does have one particular small window that we can peer through to see just a touch of what it was like with the risen Christ and the frailty of man. Amen? So we're going to look at that tonight by the grace of God. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you've given us through the word, through this gospel, as we've gone through the good news that John recorded for our benefit, Lord, and not just for ours, but that we could know these things in such a way that we could explain them to our loved ones, to our friends, that we could make our joy filled in them through their faith, which you would need to call them to. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. As we open up the Scripture tonight, Father, lead us, Lord God, through your word, and help us to know how to apply these teachings to our hearts in a real and a personal way. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in chapter 21, I guess we got to go backwards a little bit because we didn't really talk about Thomas, you know, because 7 days after the other apostles had seen Christ, Thomas said, "I would not believe unless I placed my hands on the physical wounds." And we talked about that a little last week. But and I'm going to start back in 24 to get a running start. So 20 and 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Be weary of that we have to see to believe, because we know that faith isn't by sight. Faith is just by a firm confidence. And Thomas right here, he said, "I need to see it before I'll believe it." And after 8 days, I said seven, it was eight. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus to the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe." Amen? I have not seen, but I believe. There's just a blessing in having that kind of faith, that you don't have to see it to know it. But you've got to believe in it before you can see it. Right? Before you can see it. As the song says, I wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see him rise, but I was there when he saved my soul, right? And so in that, I've never seen Jesus, but I believe that he is. Like Jesus told Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit, no man knows where it comes from or where it goes. It's like the wind. You don't know how the wind blows, but you see the effects of it. and I have seen the effects of the saving grace of God in you guys, right? In your lives, in the way that you love, and the way that you minister, the way your hearts poured out into the least of these, as we looked in that village in Kenya that we were able to help, and we were able to help because you have faith, right? And then it says in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye believe ye might have life through his name. All right, so again, John says, we're not going to talk a lot about what happens after that. You need to have faith. You know, you must walk by faith. And it says in verse chapter 21, in verse 1, after these things, so after John has finished talking about that, he's coming back to the real time that they were in. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana, in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the two brothers of his disciples. And Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth, they entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. All right? When I read that today, it brought me back to where Peter and them first met Jesus. What were they doing? They were fishing. They had toiled all night long. They had caught nothing. Peter was tired. In fact, they were cleaning their nets, right? Ah, man, another day, hard labor, didn't catch anything. Nothing to do but clean my nets, go to bed, and we'll try again tomorrow. But Jesus was teaching on the shore. And then he said, Peter, can I get into your boat? It's not me, Lord, really. Choose the other boat up there. He said, no, Peter, I want to get in your boat. And they pushed out a little bit from the sea, and Jesus began to teach. And as he got through teaching, he said, push out into the deep and cast your net. Peter said, I don't want to. I just cleaned my net. Are you kidding? I don't want to do this. We fished all night. That's the time to catch fish. It's daytime. You can't catch nothing now. Do it. Peter said, well, for your sake, for you, I'll do it. And he pushed out a little way from the shore. And he cast his net, and they caught a great multitude of fish. And after that, Jesus said to Peter and Luke, they'll go over there real quick, Luke chapter 5. This is in the beginning of the ministry of Christ. Luke chapter 5, 3, 4, 5. And we'll pick up in verse 8, 4 and 8, because we already talked about the things. And when Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of fish which had been taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So they're with Peter at the end as they were in the beginning. And which partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You'll be fishers of men. From this day forward, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. That was 3.5 years ago. They forsook everything and they stood beside Christ for 3.5 years from that time all the way up to the cross through the resurrection. After those things, Peter said, well, I am at living here. I don't know. It may have just been a day fishing trip, but I think they went back to their old business. They said, let's go back to the way that we used to feed our families, forgetting that Jesus has said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, no longer fishers of fish. And I don't know why they would have done that. Well, yes, I do. All right, because here I stand before you, and I cannot tell you the times I've been tempted to just take enough money to buy a truck and go back. Because I know I can make a living. I know I can. You know, why I have that talent. I can go back fishing. I can go back to installing floors. I can do those things. But it comes to the point, am I called by God to do this? Are you called by God to walk by faith, or called by God to walk by sight? Peter and James and the sons of Zebedee, John and James, you know, they're the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder in the fishing boat. That they go pushing out, and they had followed Peter once again. Just like it was in the beginning, only it's like the reverse side of the coin. First they were fishing, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus said, go and we'll pull in some fish for you, and they did. And now at the end of their heart's desire to be fishermen again, Jesus is going to meet them one more time, right? And so so Simon and them were out fishing, verse 3, and Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we will also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. So they didn't even think about it. They just jumped in and said, all right, Pete, let's go. We'll start the old business. We'll get the band back together, you know, and we'll go back and do the things we used to do. And that night they caught nothing. Again, this rings true to me. If I were to really decide to go back, I would not expect to be successful like I was successful. Right? They went out, they caught nothing. All right. And then when morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. Can you catch the irony? I can almost see this as comical, funny. All right? The guys are out there fishing. Jesus on the seashore. He knows they ain't caught nothing. Hey, boys, catching any fish out there? How's it feel? I told you to be fishermen. Instead, you're out there fishing back. Did you catch anything? And I can, it's almost like slapstick. It's like Jesus is saying, okay, guys, I know that you didn't catch nothing, but how about it? Did you catch anything? And they answered, no. And I could just hear them with the disgust in their mouth, you know, no, not at all. Then he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Church, are you fishing on the right side of the boat?
Yeah, are you on the right side?
Are you on the right side?
Yeah.
We're looking at all these failures and all these things that are going on in the world. Are we even fishing on the right side of the boat? See, there's the side that we want to follow our flesh on, and then there's the side that Jesus tells us to fish on. Anybody who's a fisherman knows that if you're out fishing, it really doesn't matter which side of the boat you fish on. Right? It's only this wide. Right? The boat's not like 50 yards wide. It's just a boat. Right? You can stand in the middle and touch both sides. It's not a huge boat. It's just a boat. Now, catch this, alright? Because you still don't know it's Jesus out there. He said, did you have any fish? No, we caught nothing. Tell you what, cast your net on the other. Okay. Sure, wise guy. No. And in that thought process, it starts sparking something in their mind. Because we say, cast it and ye shall find. When we fish on the right side of Jesus, when we do what Jesus commanded us, we will find what we need. And it may not be what we want, but it will be exactly what we need. And therefore, they knew, and now they were not able to draw the multitude of fishes. They cast, therefore, I've skipped that. And so, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know as John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon, son of Peter, heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come into land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid upon thereon bread. All right, so they hadn't caught nothing, but Jesus was ready. All right, he had already caught the fish. He had already cooked the fish. Those guys just came in with a whole load of fish, but they still didn't know exactly what they had. They knew that if they followed Jesus, they saw a great miracle. The miracle of fishing, being obedient to God and doing what he says will bring an abundance in your life. So the disciples get to the land. As soon as they come into the land, they saw that there is a fire of coals. So that lets you know that it's been a while. How long does it camp, or how long does it take to make coals?
A couple hours.
Yep. You gotta build a fire. Gotta wait till the fire burns down. Because if you cook a fish on open flame, what happens? It scorches it. It burns it. It doesn't bake it properly. And so anyhow, Jesus has been there for a while cooking, and the fire and the coals and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto him, bring up the fish which you have caught. So Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to land full of great fish, 143. And for all these, there were so many, and yet the net was not broken. Same thing that happened the first time that Jesus told them to fish on the right side of the boat. They caught a great multitude of fish, afraid that the boat was going to capsize or the net was going to break, and neither of those things happened. So here you have the same thing again. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about the amount of fish, 153. And they say, well, there's 153. And they try to get some big theological teaching out of that. All I can see out of it is there's 153 fish. Okay? And they were big. All right? There were no guppies there. They were all big. They were prime, healthy fish, which... funny, they were on the right side of the boat, not on the left side of the boat. That's all that I see. All right. Now, like I said, I'm not a theologian. I'm not one of those guys who studies numbers. And they say, well, 153 means that you tied your shoe on your left foot, and that's what it means to all Scripture. I don't know any of that. What I do know is that they were obedient. They received something. They received the best that God had for them at the time, even though their heart said, let us go back and do what we used to do. Even though their heart was ready to go back to the world and forsake the gospel, even maybe. And I'm saying even maybe because it doesn't say that in the Scripture. All I know is that they had seen the risen Lord. It had been a couple days since they had talked to him. Peter said, and it may have been a necessity. And again, I'm just thinking. It may have been a necessity. Rinse, do guys, right? And we need to go catch fish. This is how I know how to make money. This is how I know how to survive. Let's go back to that way of life and see if we can at least feed our families and stop from being thrown out on the street. Again, that is all my imagination. None of that is Scripture. But I know that there's a reason that they wanted to go back. They went back. And Jesus met their need the very same way that he met their need the first time. They caught a great number of fish. And they were all large and wonderful fish. And so with 153 fish, you would bring it to the fishmonger in town, and he would give you the sales price of that, and it would meet the need of the day. There's another time in Scripture, this just popped in my mind, when the people who were running the synagogue asked Peter if Jesus would pay taxes. And to make the long story short, Jesus told Peter to go fishing. And when you catch a fish, you'll find the right amount of money in his mouth. Yeah. And again, that's a crazy thought, right? Yeah. How many here have fish, right? Have you ever found any money in a fish's mouth? Never. All I found in fish were fish guts. There's no money in there. But anyhow, this particular fish had money in his mouth. So God knows what you need before you ever set the hook. God knows what those people needed even before they went out into the boat to go back to the old way. And even though they decided to go back to the old way to try to pay their bills, they couldn't do it in and of themselves. But when they did what the master told them, to fish on the correct side, the right side of the boat, they caught exactly what they needed. That's going to happen in your life. If it hasn't happened already, it will happen soon, right? Because it's happened in my life several times that I thought that I could do it my way. Instead of walking by faith, instead of resting and relaxing and allowing God to do it, I try to do it my own way. Can I get an amen? Right? Try to do it my way. I'm going to force the hand. I'm going to make it work. What's that song? I did it my way.
Frankie.
And so, anyhow, in that thought process, you can't do it properly your way.
Yeah.
You know? But when you do it Jesus' way, you will not just catch a few fish. You'll catch all the fish you need and really nice ones. So God still loves the way that... and then he asked him, he says... And in verse 12, he said, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask. That would be dared, right?
Yeah.
Dared ask, okay. Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then came and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, I wonder why the other disciples may have not even recognized that it was Jesus. They knew it was him, but nobody dared ask, Lord, is that you? I mean, they were in his very presence. Of course you wouldn't ask if you could recognize that it was Christ. Was there something different about him?
Yeah,
just a thought. And but then he did eat, and he gave them bread, and he took likewise. Now, it was the third time which Jesus showed himself unto his disciples after that he had risen from the dead. All right, so this is just the third time. What was he doing for the whole 40 days? We don't know. We know that he showed up three times to his disciples. Once with the 10, because Judas was gone, Thomas was not there. Then he showed up again when all the guys were there, including Thomas. And now he shows up again on the seashore to meet their needs. I don't know. It just makes you go, makes my mind to wonder, you know, as I got a kind of curious mind. Now Jesus starts talking deeply to the one who he gave the keys to way back. Y'all remember when he gave the keys to Peter? Right? And Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Some say that you're this prophet, some say that you're a prophet. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. Right? And Jesus said unto him, flesh and blood has not told you this, but the Spirit of God. And I give you the keys. I give you the keys of salvation. Thinking of that. Now, and that was the same Peter just a couple nights ago that he refused Christ three times. It was the same Peter that Jesus told Mary at the tomb, make sure you tell the disciples. I bit my tongue at supper time.
Aww.
All right, so my tongue's like fat in my mouth. I'm saying things funny. Anyhow, tell the disciples, right? And so, plus Peter. And make sure you tell Peter. So Peter is a very intricate part of the gospel, of the good news that Jesus had for people. And remember, he also told Peter that Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. He didn't tell that to any other disciple. He only told that to Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because Peter was a natural-born leader, if he was just the roughest of the crew. Couldn't tell you. But God had a special thing for Peter. Maybe it was because he was gruff. You know, when I read the story of Peter and I look at his lifestyle, he wasn't like John. He wasn't warm and cuddly. You know, I don't...
Contemptuous.
Yeah. Contemptuous. He was...
He lopped the hair off.
Yeah, he did. He lopped the hair off. Yeah, absolutely. He was just as cuddly as a porcupine. You know, but he had a great heart to serve the Lord. He was a warrior in a warrior in a fisherman's body. Yeah. Now, I don't. Y'all remember that show that was out, The Chosen? I don't like the way it ended up, but when it started out, it was really neat because it showed Peter and his wife, right? It showed Peter and as he may have been a regular sailor, a fisticuff kind of guy. He would roll in the dirt with you and fight with you. I never pictured that the way that they did it in that movie or the show The Chosen, right? And I don't know if y'all seen it. I'm not telling you to see it. We stopped watching it because it started getting off, way off scripture, you know. And so once they started doing that, you know, we parted our way with it. So I do have a couple of those Chosen t-shirts. If anybody wants them, they're going in the next yard sale. but anyhow, in the way that they pictured Peter brought to mind what I had always imagined into my visual realm, you know. And so Peter was special to God. He was special to Jesus. And so as he as Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead, this is the third time, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, what a strange question. Peter, out of all the disciples that were there, instead of talking to John or Thomas or Nathaniel or James or the other disciples that were there, he says, Peter, the one who said, "I'm going back fishing," you, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, when he was saying these, I'm sure that he was talking about the other disciples. He wasn't talking about the 153 fish, right? He wasn't talking about anything else. He was saying, "Peter, these people that are around you, do you have a special love for me more than what these other men do?" And Peter answered, he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus, he said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Now I've heard the folks say, well, there's the two different types of love that are mentioned in Greek. One's phileo, and the other is agape. And so Jesus is saying, "Do you agape me?" And Peter is answering, "Yes, I phileo you."
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now, that's what I've been taught.
Yeah, that's true.
I do. Do you know Greek?
No, but I know that is true. The Greek words are correct. Or you just
okay. I don't know Greek. Okay. I don't know Spanish. I know American barely. But I do know that people have taught me that, but I can't be an authority on it because I don't know it. And I don't like to teach what somebody else has said to me, you know, and until I go and I study Greek, the ancient Greek, not the modern Greek, I can't stand here and say that that's exactly what it says.
Well, you referenced your interlinear Greek once or weeks back. I heard you say something about using the interlinear, whether you use it or whatever, and it's just right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see the right from the text as Receptus, you can see the words right there.
Right.
And, yeah.
And so, well, there's a, I wish the Greek guy was here, because there is a very different, Tom, right? There's a very different thing between the modern Greek and the Greek that Paul would have spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Gary Newhart, when he studies Greek, he studies a different type of Greek. It's all Greek to me. All right? I don't understand any of it. But what it says and what I've been taught, that's what they're saying. Jesus is saying, "Do you agape me? Do you charity me? Do you have those 16 characteristics of Christ for me in you?" And Peter's saying, "I love you like a brother."
Yeah.
Right? "I love you like a brother." All right. And then he said unto Simon, said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Now, both times that he said, "Do you love me?" he gives them something to do. First he says, "Feed my lambs." Then he says, "Feed my sheep." Let me ask you, do you love him? Now let me ask you this. Are you feeding as lambs? Or are you feeding as sheep? Do you love him more than these? Now, in me, I wouldn't look at these as far as you guys, right? When I look at these, I look at the other idols that are in my life. I look at the other things in my life. Do I love you more than football? All right. Do I love you more than my wife? Do I love God more than I love my wife? Do I love God more than I love my children? Jesus said this, remember, if you do not love me more than your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life, if you don't love me more than that, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be a student if you don't love him more than all these things. He asked Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yeah, you're my bro, man. You're my brother. I love you like a brother. He said, well, even if you love me in the least type of love there is in the family, love you like a brother. I don't love you like my wife. I don't love you like my dad. I don't love you like I love my brother. You're a good friend. But even if you love the Lord in the least way of loving God, the least you can do is tend to the other people that are Christian. You can feed his lambs. You can feed his sheep. If you really love him, that will be a heart's cry inside of you. You'll have a longing and a desire to do that. And as he asked him the third time, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. So he asked him the third time. He said unto him the third time, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Again, I would have to know more about Greek to get into that deeper than what we can go in the scripture. I don't like to imagine things. Well, I do like to imagine things. But if I'm imagining things, I'll tell you I'm imagining things. Jesus is laying things out real plain for Peter right here. Make up your mind today who you're going to serve. Alright? You say you love me like a brother, then tend to the people that are around you. Alright? Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll do what? In John chapter 15. If you love me, you will obey. Amen. You will obey my commandments. If we really love God the way that we say we love God, there ought to be an external presentation of that love. You ought to be feeding his sheep. You ought to be feeding his lambs. You ought to be loving the body of Christ more than the body of the world. Not saying that we don't love the world. We're supposed to. Not saying we don't love the lost, okay? Yeah. I'm going to put it that way, because we're told not to love the world in 1 John. Love not the world or the things of the world, for if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. All right. So, we are supposed to love other human beings because they're made in the image and likeness of God. But if we really love Jesus the way that we're the least way that we could love anybody, like brotherly love. Who here has kinfolk, brothers, sisters? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you're really fond of them, right? But do you love them like you love your mom or your dad? Do you love them like you love your husband or your wife? I don't. If I did, that'd be really weird. Okay? Okay? You don't do that. There's a different type of love. And as far as I'm concerned, that's in the family unit, the love of the brother is the least of the loves. All right? You love your mom and dad. You love your spouse. You love your children. You love your brother. That's if there's scales of that, that would be way down here, because I would love my wife. I love my kids. I'm really fond of my parents. Right? And then I love my siblings. And in the way that goes, that's in my mind and my life. That's how it works. And as Jesus saying, do you love me the way that God loves you? either. And he's saying, no, I love you in the least of the family relationship way. I love you like a brother. Have you ever thought of it like that? And even though he was saying, yeah, if that is true in the Greek, if that's really true, what I've been taught, like I said, I can't tell you if that's true or not because I don't know Greek. If that is true, Jesus is saying, even if you love me in the least way, you ought to be tending to the other people that are in the body of Christ.
And that is exactly what Jesus demonstrated by dying on the cross for the sins of the world.
Amen.
He died loving others. God saw his son empty himself of all the love.
Of all
right?
the love.
Is
Amen.
That,
yeah.
For others.
For others. And that is what we're, if we say that we love God, and I think if I was to get you to raise your hand, you would say you love God. Then you need to compare that to how you're ministering to other believers in Christ. Because we can say we love God, but if we don't fellowship, if we don't study together, if we don't pray together, if we don't have this deep, ever-deepening communion with God and with each other, we don't even love God in the least of these ways because we're not attending to the brethren the way that we're supposed to be attending to the brethren. And so, that's the last teaching that Jesus has in the Word of God, in the Gospel of John. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 18, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walketh whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and to carry thee while thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by which death he, meaning Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto them, follow me. Amen. After you understand the teachings of Jesus Christ and you get these works of charity buckled down into your life and you start blooming, growing, producing fruit in your life, always follow Christ. People, do not follow me. Don't follow somebody who is a Greek professor. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow the King James, literal King James Bible. Follow that. Follow his word. Don't put your eyes on man or any man's teaching because men can. I may have said something incorrect today. I really could have. But I think that what I taught is as clear as I could understand it in the simplest way without trying to get super theological because I'm not a super theological guy. I believe in Jesus Christ not as a theory but as a reality. Amen. And so to finish up the chapter, and then Peter turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said unto said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Okay. I thought it was going to be shorter than this. Thank you, Lord. How often do we look at somebody else's ministry, right? And we say, well, what's he going to do? Well, I know what I'm going to do. Lord, how about him? Listen, don't worry about somebody else's ministry. Don't worry about somebody else's love. Don't worry about somebody else's thought pattern. Worry about your own. You know, Jesus taught this as a wonderful teaching. If you see a speck in your neighbor's eye, in your brother's eye, how can you remove it if you have a plank in your own? First, remove the plank out of your eye and then help your brother with the speck in his. Don't complain about somebody else's yard if you ain't mowed your own, right? So, anyhow, Peter says, what about this man? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to you? What is it to thee? Follow thou me. All right? okay, church, don't worry about somebody else's ministry. Don't worry about what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. That is not your job. Your job is to what? The last two words of that? Three words of that? First, follow thou me. And that's personal. You follow Christ. Don't follow me. Don't follow Steve. Don't follow Kevin or Rory or Wendy or anybody else. You follow Jesus Christ. And when you're following Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, when you end up on your last day, you'll be exactly where you're supposed to be. As long as you don't quit following Christ. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? All right, see how false doctrines start? All the folks that were there said, they all said, John's not going to die until Jesus comes back. That's not what he said. And how often, that's why I'm so careful about using words that I've been taught mean one thing, and I don't know they mean that thing. That's why I was talking about the love thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that, all right? I haven't called that as my own. I ate something, I chewed something that somebody else had regurgitated out, and I took it as my own, but that didn't make it mine. That's somebody else's regurgitation that I consumed. Sounds gross, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we take other men's teaching and don't do it yourself, that's what you're doing. You know, so anyhow. But what, and that's not what the, and so that's how John was describing this. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Amen. What's that? If every blade of grass,
if every stalk of corn were a quill, and the ocean were of ink, and the sky was the parchment, there would be,
there would not be enough.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So praise God. Next week, by the grace of God, we will be in Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity.
It's preacher.
Preacher. Yeah, preacher. Preacher's going to preach the preacher. And so, folks, I love you. This has been a wonderful study. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed being taught by you, you know, because it wasn't all me teaching. Y'all guys added to me as much, hopefully, as much as I added to you, as the Holy Spirit has opened up these conversations. And who wants to close in prayer? Doesn't have to be a guy. Y'all can pray. You know that? It's up to y'all. Or you can just go home.
Oh, I'll pray.
Go ahead.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, the question that Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me, Peter? One of these. And Lord, I can look around in my life, Lord, and I can see that I do love the world at times, Lord, much to my shame, Lord. And I just pray that I would love you more, Lord Jesus, than anything that is in this world, and anything that I can see, anything that I can touch, anything that I can taste, anything, Lord, even the fellowship of brethren, Lord Jesus, you are greater than these. And help, Lord Jesus, myself and all of us here, that Christ would sit on the throne of our hearts. And we would draw closer to him and set aside all the distractions and the lies of this world, pulling us in all kinds of different directions. Lord Jesus, you are all in all. And sometimes I feel distant from you, Lord Jesus, and I really, really pray that this may not be so. Bring me close to yourself, Lord Jesus. Even if that would be breaking me of things that need to be broken, so that I would find myself before you. day approaching, it's more and more apparent that this the separation of things in this world, that we're being separated from it. And Lord, help us to yield to you, Lord Jesus. May we find you always, always before us. And may we be faithful to you in that day. May you say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.